Music from the Oberlin Choristers this morning, as we are joined by Jennifer Call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in this morning to share a little bit of the choristers' music. Where was that recorded or performed at?
That was at a performance at Finney Chapel in December, our annual Songs for the Season concert.
And you have a concert for the springtime too, right?
Absolutely. Singing Celebration is coming up on Sunday, April 19th. That's at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Lorraine. Beautiful performance space, beautiful church that is like the cathedrals we sing in Europe. It just rings and rings. Beautiful space.
Now, when you are setting up a place to go, do you scout a place? Do you test it? How do you know where you're going into and what's this going to do to your choristers?
Absolutely. I really enjoy the part of my job where I get to just go and schedule appointments at different churches and different auditoriums and venues. And being in the field, you know what you're looking for in terms of a resident space. And usually I can step first foot into a space and know if it's going to work for us or not. And we also have to worry about parking and seating and restrooms and all of those other things that make it a comfortable performance environment for our singers and parents.
Right. Well, you have moody performances. You got to make sure that those kids are all in good spirits when it comes time for them to perform.
Absolutely.
Right? It's amazing.
Yes.
You bring them all together and they've got their own lives going on. So you got a mix of people that, I don't feel too well. I'm not too sure. I'm not, you know, my animal pet died or something happened to these people. You got to kind of bring them together and let them know they have to be professionals. They have to perform when it's time to do that.
Right? Absolutely. But that's one of the things that's so great about this program, because each of these singers come from a different community, come from a different music program at their schools, and so they bring with them different elements, most of them really good elements, and some of them are elements that they're learning to overcome. Sometimes it's a little bit of nerves, stage fright. Sometimes it's a grumpiness from something else that they bring with them, but they all say that when they sing, they feel better.
You mentioned some of the places you visited in Europe. Can you tell us about one that maybe stands out for you?
Stands out. I don't know that there's a way to pick.
It's Europe, I guess,
it's
right?
It's Europe, right.
Yeah.
So this past summer, we traveled to France and Spain, mm-hmm. and we had spectacular performances. We performed in a standing room only performance at Chartres Cathedral, beautiful historic cathedral in Chartres, France, and that was amazing. We performed in the very small little church in Arles, in the south of France, where the people who lived there, who came to the concert, stood in a receiving line and shook all of the kids' hands as they were coming out of the backstage area where they had their things gathered, and surprised us. We had multiple standing ovations, which I think our kids are amazing, but I feel like our audiences here are used to it, mm-hmm. and so we don't get as much of accolades. Multiple encores, things that we had never experienced, but probably the most touching was in a cathedral in Barcelona where we sang a very simple song in Catalan, and we didn't really understand the importance of that for the people in Barcelona of their traditional language. And as we started to sing, every person who was there of that culture was weeping, and it led the kids to weep as they watched how their music was affecting everybody. And that, for those kids, was their favorite performance.
How do you bring that out of the children? I noticed when we played a piece here, a lot of times there's not words, it sort of sounds or just kind of, how do you let them interpret that and know what emotion goes with this particular sound, as opposed to when you have a lyric that you can kind of interpret that way?
As a conductor, I use a collaborative process, which includes the kids in their interpretation. We talk about what story do you imagine? What do you see? Sometimes we talk about pictures and a slideshow that goes through in our minds. Sometimes we talk about what it feels like to sing the notes, because our instrument is our body, and you feel resonance in a different way by the pitch you sing, the vowel you sing, the harmonies that are created. And so the kids are really sensitive, and they're able to come up with some amazing things that I wouldn't even consider.
When I imagine a chorister, I imagine some young person who's very articulate, who's bright, who would respond to you. Do they all become like that, or is that just, you know, their stage presence and everybody off stage maybe are somebody who's just kind of quiet and, you know, that way too?
We have such a variety of personalities, and it's really fun. It's also very challenging as a teacher to try and put all of those personalities together to make one cohesive sound. But yes, we do have very reserved singers who would be terrified to sing by themselves. Yet when they're with their friends, when they're shoulder to shoulder, they sing out with these big boisterous voices and with their faces glow as they sing.
And how young can a chorister be?
Well, technically, we have choirs starting at kindergarten, but we also have a pre-K class, 3 to 5 year olds, that is a experiential, play-based singing experience. There aren't performances attached to it, but it's to help build their listening skills and their singing skills and their joy for music at a young age. So I guess you could say 3 and above.
Have you had some young ones come in and you go, wow?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Some of these kids are just born with it. And it's our job to continue to nurture and support and feed that and give them the challenges that they need to progress.
And give them the correct techniques, too. Because many times you hear maybe something of a young child who's singing more like an adult, and it's not really something that they can sustain, especially once puberty hits or something. You're obviously working with the correct breathing, correct technique, and sort of letting their true voice come out.
I'm so happy you mentioned that, because that is one of the things that choristers holds dear, and that's appropriate singing technique. We all can sing. If you can talk, you can sing, and that means you can belt away in your car and you can shout with what the kids call screamo music. You know, you can do all of that because your voice is amazing, but you can't do it for a sustained period of time without hurting yourself. And we want to teach the kids healthy, proper technique that can last them their entire lifetime.
Does that also improve their speaking voices, too? I mean, in helping in maybe some kids who have issues with that?
We have had several occasions where, especially in our younger choirs, kids who are having different speech difficulties, because we do fun tongue twisters in different languages, and we talk so much about the mouth and about how we create sound, that it can help them overcome that, although not as much as, you know, appropriate therapy.
Sure,
but it certainly does help them.
But it's just maybe a side benefit that comes out of that. One of the things that you have written in this release here, it says about the choristers program, they move into adulthood equipped with confidence, poise, and a deep appreciation for the musical arts. Do you have graduate choristers that give back to your program or still want to be a part of it in some way?
We do. We often have our newly graduated and probably up through early 20s that say, I wish you had a choir for me, because they love that community and that family. We have alums that are on our board serve in that way. We have an alum that's in a doctoral program, and she's doing her thesis and sent me this big survey that she's working on for her document, and we're part of that because of her experience with us. We have lots of music educators in all fields, not just vocal music, that make us proud.
You have the big event, Singing Celebration, coming up at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary Catholic Church in Lorraine on April 19th at 7 o'clock, but I understand you're coming up on a big anniversary year, is that correct?
Yes. Our 2015-16 season is the choristers' 25th anniversary, and we have a lot of really exciting things planned. And the biggest one that we get to announce here is that our choir, Cantera Musica, the traveling choir, has been selected to be a spotlight performer at a performance at Carnegie Hall in June next summer.
Wow. That's the place, right?
Isn't that is
where
the place, right.
Want to go like that? What could that experience going to be like? I know it's kind of looking into the future or knowing about that place. What do you think that's going to be like for the choristers and the lucky ones who are in the right place at the right time?
That's right. It's going to be amazing. It's a traveling tour that ends in New York City. So we're going to Philadelphia. We're going to Princeton to the American Boy Choir School and having a clinic by Fernando Mavado Ruiz. He's a fabulous conductor, and he's working with the kids. Then we make our way into New York, and we're participating in a festival with a lot of kids from around the country. And a guest conductor, Henry Leck, one of the big names in choral music. And as part of that festival performance, our choir comes out by ourselves and sings on stage with everybody watching. So that'll be very exciting.
How many students are in that choir?
We have a cap at 32, and we're currently in auditions for that choir right now.
Are they going to be able to fill the stage with the
32? Oh, they won't fill the stage physically,
right,
but they will fill the hall with their voices.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes.
What a great experience, because for a lot of these kids, I would imagine this might be the first time in New York City or any of these other places you go.
Absolutely. And they're so excited. They're going to get to see a Broadway show. They're going to get to visit the 9/11 Memorial Museum. They're going to get to do a lot of the other things in the city besides just rehearsing on stage.
Sounds like it's fun to be a chorister.
Oh, you bet. We have kids who we call lifers. And actually at our concert on April 19th, 3 of our graduating seniors are lifers, meaning they started at the very beginning of the program and they've gone all the way through.
And they haven't gotten tired of singing this choral music.
No, they love it, and they're looking forward to what they do next.
What happens each year to build enthusiasm for that set of the music that you're going to be performing?
It's a combination of factors. It's certainly the music itself. It has to be high-level, challenging, but also rewarding emotionally and technically as a singer. But then there's an incredible social environment where everybody is supportive of each other. Because we're outside of the school environment, I feel like people feel a little bit more free with themselves. They don't have to fit into certain categories or certain niches. And that's really freeing for our children. They love it. They love to come. They love to be with these other like-minded singers and get to be their silly selves. And I think that that's one of the sustaining factors for those kids.
Now, the Oberlin Choristers, again, performing Singing Celebration. Is there a cost or admission, or how do we get a hold of being able to go to this event?
Yes, right. Tickets are available by calling the Choristers office, and that number is 440-774-4079. And there are three levels of ticket prices, $10 for adults, $8 for students and seniors, and any little ones under three would be free. However, this concert is a little bit more mature, so a three-year-old probably wouldn't enjoy it. I wouldn't bring mine. She would be a wreck.
They get a little squirmy after a
right.
little while like that or something. But or maybe it just kind of lulls them to sleep.
Sometimes it would. I think my kids are just crazy, so it's in a good way.
Singing Celebration, Oberlin Choristers, again, April 19th at the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary Catholic Church in Lorain. Our guest today, Artistic Director Jennifer Call. Thanks for stopping in. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Always good to hear from the choristers.